Good morning. This is Issa Khan with the Long Views.
I'm Raving David Tierney, and with me in the studio is Dan Toomey. We're going to queue up for you. We have a guest on the line. His name is Peter Haas, and the subject is going to be implementing renewable energy resources in Guatemala. Our live interview this week features the thoughtful executive director of Appropriate Infrastructure Development Group, AIDG. Peter and his team install renewable energy systems and establish micromanufacturing enterprises in beautiful but predominantly financially poor Guatemala. Often the communities are replacing dirty, non-renewable technologies, such as diesel fuel, with wind generators. It is a labor of caring for AIDG, an entirely volunteer organization with no paid U.S.-based staff. Think about that. What seems to be new technology has actually been around since the early 1900s, before Americans became bound to the electricity grid. Before complicated corporate interests dominated power technology, we knew safer, cleaner ways to light our lamps. Peter will shed some light and inspire us to think about working towards similar efforts in our communities. Good morning, Peter. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Hi, Peter. This is Dan. And so we're going to be talking about your project and mainly about the work that you folks have been doing in Guatemala. The name of your organization is?
The Appropriate Infrastructure Development Group.
Or AIDG.
That's correct.
What's meant by the word appropriate?
Well, the term appropriate or intermediate technology was developed by E.F. Schumacher and became a focus for international development organizations the world over. The goal of appropriate or intermediate technology is to develop systems that are community scale, that are affordable, that can be produced and repaired within the local community. For us, appropriate technology encompasses all of these things, but it also encompasses trying to build the capacity long-term for the manufacture and replication of these technologies in a community. So our group, the Appropriate Infrastructure Development Group, focuses on community-scale projects that do renewable energy, but we also focus on creating micromanufacturing facilities, businesses that can continue in operation for years after we have completed a project in a specific community.
Okay, so you do a lot of work in Guatemala. What have you been doing down there?
Currently, we only operate in Guatemala. Guatemala is our first country of operation. We're a relatively young NGO. We started in January 2005. That's when we got our 501c3. We currently incubate a 10-person manufacturing facility in Guatemala to produce solar water heating systems, hydraulic ram pumps, solar LED lighting, wind generators, and micro hydroelectric generation systems. Currently, they also perform biogas installation. Currently, they are primarily working on a single 16-kilowatt hydroelectric system for a coffee-producing community that is about 2 hours south of the city where the shop is located. They also do several smaller installations of biogas, wind, solar photovoltaic, and solar water heating.
I don't know if you know about a project we have here at UMass Lowell. Professor John Duffy brings engineering students down to Peru every year, and they go into small communities and come up with low-tech engineering solutions to problems there. And it's, you know, it's a learning experience for the students, of course, but at the same time, it's producing, you know, a practical outcome, just like you guys are doing. Yours is a little bit different in the fact that I think, if I read right, you train engineers down in Guatemala to be able to continue on with, the sustainable development. Is that accurate?
That is accurate. We are creating a self-sufficient business in Guatemala with Guatemalan engineers doing all of our production and installation. We do actually, though, have a program that's similar to the program you just mentioned, where we are bringing college engineering students down to the business in Guatemala to help them get a space to develop their own products, and also to have a knowledge exchange between our Guatemalan engineers and students studying engineering here in the States. We hope eventually that this partnership will help give some of the technical resources that are available to engineering students in the States to the engineers in Guatemala, as well as provide some hands-on experience for people who are studying engineering in the States.
Now, how did you ever become sensitized to the hardships in South and Central America? Have you traveled there as a kid? You know, what? Where'd this come from?
I actually traveled when I was in my mid-20s on a one-way trip around the world working with different international development organizations. I had been computer programming prior to that and had essentially needed a break from sitting in front of a terminal. And I kept on finding myself in this situation while I was traveling where I would see projects that had been installed by different NGOs that had failed because of lack of very simple maintenance or a lack of knowledge imparted by the NGO. So often the project would fail because of a lack of a fuse or a gasket or a bearing, very simple maintenance issues that could be repaired if the person who is knowledgeable in the reparation of that project was in the area. Unfortunately, I'd also see many times the person the NGO trained in repairing these systems had moved on for better economic opportunities because they'd gotten this additional training and they could find a better job in the local city. I realized that there really needed to be local manufacturing facilities focused on the installation, distribution, and production of these systems to be able to guarantee the long-term maintenance, because NGO projects tend to have a limited lifespan. They tend to have a project focus that is short-term. It's not a long-term focus. It's focused based around when funding is available. And this short-term focus leads to disaster for many communities when the goal is actually to produce products that actually have a long-term benefit.
Yeah, we're familiar with that here at the university, too. A number, especially I work at the Center for Family, Work, and Community, and we have a number of projects that are funded, you know, through grants. And one of the problems that we face, and I guess that's the problem that you faced, is that, you know, when the funding runs out for the grant, it's kind of a seed money, you want to develop some kind of infrastructure, some kind of a sustainable, ongoing infrastructure that keeps the project going long after the initial funding dissipates or goes away. And so that sounds like, you know, what you've faced and come up with a solution. How successful have you been in terms of that in Guatemala? Is there a sustainable system going on down there?
Our incubation program with the micromanufacturing facility in Guatemala is actually a 3-year program, precisely because we didn't want to start something and then get it partway and leave them in a lurch. So we are at our first year mark come this August, and our first year has been focused around product development, and it hasn't been focused as much around distribution and sales. In terms of revenue, though, the shop has managed to do pretty well. In the first 6 months of this year, they reached about 50% of their operating costs in terms of revenue, which for a shop that's just starting out is a pretty good result. Uh-huh. Our hope is that they will be completely self-sufficient after the second year, and that our third year support will be helping them look towards maintaining themselves in the long term and having good profits.
Peter, this is David for a moment. I want to jump in here. The work you're describing that your organization does seems very, very familiar to something that I saw on television. And for the life of me, I can't remember which channel. It had to be one of the public broadcasting stations, probably Channel 2 or 11 or one of those. And I don't know if it was a History Channel or something. Have you been documented and filmed this way, or am I thinking about another group altogether?
We have not, though we will be on PBS hopefully this fall. We're going into filming with PBS at the end of July.
Now, you have some on your website, and mention it, please. You have some flash pictures, movies, or whatever that people can see what you do. Is that right?
That's correct. We have several movies, several flash animations, and we also have a gallery of photographs of our different technologies and different people working on different projects.
So please mention your website so that people can look at it.
So our website is aidg.org. We also, for those who are interested, have a technical website, aidg.net. And that contains all of our designs, manuals, and information on renewable energy systems that we thought people would be interested in.
So you're not really territorial. You'd like to spread the word and get other people doing the kind of things that you're doing.
That is correct. All of the designs that we have been building have been designs that have been published by other NGOs, and we've looked towards refining those designs.
Yes.
So we are very open with our design structure, and we really want other people to take these designs and spread them. The goal of AIDG is really the spread of appropriate technology into rural areas. And if we were territorial, we would never be able to accomplish that.
Okay, I'm going to ask you in a minute. I'm going to ask you to kind of elaborate on what appropriate technology is specifically. But before that, I spoke to you last night, and I mentioned a place out in Oregon called Aprovecho, which is a nonprofit who work with students as well. But they also go down to Central America, I think it is, or South America. I think it's Central America. And they have decided one of the problems with trying to help people down in South and Central America have been the ones that try to help have these big, massive programs, you know, like building a dam and those kind of things. And so what they decided to do was come up with low-tech solutions. So they use students and they do research and come up with low-tech solutions and then bring them down into South and Central America. I can't remember what countries that they go to, and share that with people. Do you know a little bit about that organization?
I know a little bit about Aprovecho, and we are doing a very similar thing to them in that all of our designs are focused towards the community scale and individual home scale. There's a very large problem with infrastructure development in developing countries right now in that much of the money for development that is going in is focused around doing very large infrastructure projects, very large grid extensions. And these programs end up caught in large government bureaucracies. They end up caught with lots of graft. A lot of the money that goes into these huge programs never actually makes it to the ground, never actually produces the dam, produces the road, produces the electrical grid extension. Our goal is to provide systems that give an option for the community that is waiting for their electric grid extension, their water grid extension, to use local resources to produce the electricity themselves or produce the clean water themselves, and solve the solution in a scale that's economic for them.
So tell us, you know, explain to us, you know, one or two of the appropriate technologies that you bring down there. I mean, are they windmills? What are they?
Sure. I guess if I were to choose two to talk about, I'd talk about our biogas systems, which take pig excrement, which is a common resource in agricultural communities, as well as cow waste, and process it in an anaerobic digestion process to produce methane, and to sterilize the waste that goes through the digester so that it comes out as a useful fertilizer. The methane that's produced in this process can be used in regular propane stoves, propane lighting systems. It can be used in propane refrigeration. It can also be used for power generation with a minor modification to a gasoline-powered generator. These systems are very low cost, very easy to install. They simply require a base level of knowledge in the fabrication of the seals and the gaskets to make sure that the insulation is properly installed to allow them to spread. They're very low cost, and they're very easy for a community to get a hold of, and they have multiple positive effects. They have the effect of the energy production, but they also have the effect of reducing direct point source contamination for water supplies, and they have the effect of producing a renewable fertilizer source.
Wow, that is really fantastic, Peter. That is absolutely amazing. Tell me, I have a few questions of my own, if I may ask them. I'd like to know about the organization itself. How big a group are you? I mean, you're all volunteers.
We're a very small group right
okay.
now. There are five committed volunteers who give significant time.
Mm-hmm.
We just started paying a shop manager mm-hmm. in Guatemala who is full-time mm-hmm. With a very base level stipend.
Mm-hmm.
And we currently provide economic support for the 10 Guatemalan workers
mm-hmm.
Who are in the shops as part of our agreement with the shop.
Mm-hmm.
We also have an internship program that we've been running where we usually get 2 to 3 interns from different colleges and universities visiting the shop at any given time. So in the Guatemala workshop, you will see at any given time 13 or 14 people working on the project.
Wow. Is Dan going to provide you with any interns from UMass Lowell? Has he mentioned that yet?
No, but we
have an engineering department here, I believe.
Yeah, actually, I CC'd a email message last night to Professor Duffy, who is I think he's down in Peru right now, and to the service learning coordinator for the engineering department here. So you might be hearing from them, actually. I hope that's kind of something that you might be helpful.
That sounds great. Yeah, we are definitely looking for connections with as many university programs as we can get.
Yeah, UMass Lowell is pretty well known as an engineering school, so we've got some pretty good talent here. So hopefully they'll get in touch with you. So anyway, why don't we wrap it up and just kind of give us an oversight of what we've talked about and, you know, what the vision that you have, you know, or anything else that you'd like to say.
Well, we are hoping that our experiment right now in Guatemala will prove to be a model that's replicatable in other regions. And we hope to establish other shops in other areas of the world. Right now, we're focusing on trying to get a shop in Haiti and the Dominican Republic. I feel that to make programs like ours successful, it really does take a lot of public support. And I think that in addition to people supporting directly organizations like our own, there needs to be a move among people to try to get their representatives and congressmen working on scaling the support from large-scale governments away from the large infrastructure projects, the huge dams, towards supporting multiple smaller organizations.
Yeah.
I think that from my experiences on the ground in Guatemala, I have seen multiple smaller organizations who are doing amazing things similar to the stuff we are doing in different technologies, in biodiesel, in solar thermal, that need very base level amounts of support. And if we can all work together to get the government funding focused towards being able to support organizations like that, it would be a tremendous boon towards development and international relations.
Okay, we've been talking to Peter Haas, and he's from an organization called the Appropriate Infrastructure Development Group, AIDG. And what is your website, Peter?
It's AIDG.org.
Okay. Thank you for this interview. It's been wonderful.
Hey, and if you want more information, in case you didn't catch that website, let me give it to you again. www.aidg.org. And you're listening to Thinking Out Loud. Peter, it's been a pleasure having you on. Thank you very much for coming on the show today. And we'd like to hear more from you down the road, as we say.